Satellite imagery from August 2025 captures something unusual. Vietnamese dredgers carving new land from shallow coral reefs across the Spratly Islands. Since early 2025, Hanoi has expanded 8 previously untouched land formations and developed over 930 hectares of artificial land. That's roughly 70% of what Beijing built during its own island building spree from 2013 to 2017. At this pace, Vietnam will soon match China's total reclaimed area in the Spratly Islands. What makes this remarkable isn't just the scale, it's China's silence. Beijing, which has consistently confronted the Philippines over far smaller moves, has said almost nothing about Vietnam's construction binge. No Coast Guard harassment, no diplomatic escalation, no military posturing. The restraint reveals something more strategic in motion. At stake is control over one of the world's most contested waterways. The South China Sea carries $3.4 trillion in trade annually, or 21% of global maritime commerce. It's also home to an estimated 11 billion barrels of oil and 5.3 trillion cubic meters of natural gas. More importantly, whoever controls the natural or artificial geographic formations in the sea can establish navigation hubs and military outposts and use those to project power across the periphery. China has 7 artificial islands, which it transformed into fortified bases equipped with runways, ports, and missile batteries. However, that advantage is now collapsing. In recent years, Vietnam has upgraded 21 of its 29 controlled rocks and low tide elevations into artificial islands. Vietnam's reclamation project is part of a calculated bet that hard power rather than diplomacy will determine who controls these waters. After all, nothing rallies Asia faster than shadows on its borders. Today's video is sponsored by Supremacy World War III, a free online strategy game where you choose a real country to lead into a modern global conflict. Up to 99 other players are moving their units across the map in real time, so to win, you need to form alliances and construct all types of units, including tanks, jets, and submarines. Supremacy World War III is a huge game. The key to victory is to think ahead and build alliances. What I like most about the game is that you can play with the same account on both PC and mobile. That convenience sets it apart from other games. Using our link below, you will get an exclusive gift, an elite frigate, a brand new unit in the game worth $25. The offer is only available for 30 days, so get started sooner rather than later. This is Vietnam's exclusive economic zone, but it also claims sovereignty over the Paracel and Spratly Islands. To secure both its holdings and its claims, Vietnam must be able to patrol these waters. However, it can't do that if Chinese ships only have to travel 10 kilometers, while the Vietnamese have to travel 500. The math just doesn't work, and so Vietnam must build artificial islands in places it claims. For years, Vietnamese outposts were little more than concrete structures. Then, in October 2021, Vietnam deployed cutter suction dredgers for the first time. These industrial machines can move sediment on a scale far beyond the small barges used in earlier projects. The difference is visible from space. The islands, reefs, and shoals of the Spratlys that once held only isolated structures now host ports, helipads, munitions depots, and sandbars stretching thousands of meters. Take Bark Canada Reef. This 29-kilometer atoll in the southern Spratlys now hosts 2.8 square kilometers of reclaimed land, making it the largest Vietnamese landmass in the island chain. Construction crews have laid the foundation for a 2,400-meter runway, which is long enough to accommodate large military transport aircraft, reconnaissance planes, and bombers. If completed, it would be Vietnam's second operational airstrip in the Spratlys, joining the existing 1,200-meter runway at Truong Sa Island. Meanwhile, the other sites have undergone transformations of their own. Pearson Reef has been expanded to nearly 1.3 square kilometers with a 2,500-meter sandbar connecting its fortified outposts. Tennant Reef now measures around 0.7 square kilometers with a 3,770-meter landmass suitable for a runway in the near future. Lad Reef, South Reef, and others follow the same pattern: dredge through lagoons, pile sediment into sandbars, and build infrastructure. By May 2025, all 21 Vietnamese-controlled land formations had undergone an artificial facelift. That is a stark change from 4 years earlier, when 11 of them were little more than pillboxes on rocks. The infrastructure emerging on these reefs is unmistakably military. Most have at least one munitions depot surrounded by thick blast walls. Bark Canada has three. Satellite imagery also shows each reef having identical clusters of buildings, arranged around central courtyards and facing out toward the sea. Their precise function remains unclear, but considering the layout, they could be either barracks, command posts, or administrative facilities. At the same time, helipads have appeared at Tennant Reef, Discovery Great Reef, Lad Reef, and South Reef, and new berms have been constructed on multiple sites, likely intended for anti-ship artillery or missile platforms. However, full-length runways are notably absent from most reefs. The placement of structures and munitions depots prevents the construction of airstrips on sites such as Pearson, Tennant, Lad, and South Reef, even though these are all long enough to accommodate one. This implies that Vietnam prioritizes naval and Coast Guard logistics more than air superiority. At least 8 reefs are now being expanded, each equipped with ports capable of servicing large vessels, including Vietnam's Jeopard-class frigates. These new ports extend Hanoi's ability to sustain deployments far from the mainland. Ships can now resupply, refuel, and rotate crews without returning to the coast, thereby significantly extending patrol durations. This mirrors China's strategy: use artificial islands as forward operating bases to maintain a persistent presence in contested waters. The scale of this effort is unprecedented for Vietnam. According to the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative, Vietnamese dredgers have created more than 930 hectares of land across 14 land formations since October 2021. At the current pace, Vietnam will match or surpass Beijing's reclamation within 2 years. China's response to Vietnamese expansionism has been tepid at best. In February 2025, Beijing issued a statement asserting sovereignty over the Spratlys and opposing construction on what they considered illegally occupied islands and reefs. But that was it. The foreign ministry repeated the same routine statement in August, saying that China would take necessary measures to safeguard its territorial sovereignty. Yet, those measures never came to pass. This restraint stands out. For years, China has forcefully confronted the Philippines over maritime disputes. In 2024 alone, Chinese Coast Guard vessels rammed Filipino ships, used water cannons to damage hulls, and deployed bladed weapons against sailors during boarding actions. At Scarborough Shoal in August 2025, a Chinese Navy destroyer collided with a Chinese Coast Guard ship while chasing a Filipino vessel, resulting in severe damage to both ships. Beijing has deployed hundreds of maritime militia boats to swarm Filipino-controlled islands and reefs, and even threatened Manila with military action if it continues reclamation work. In effect, the Philippines has drawn Beijing's wrath, despite controlling just 9 land formations in the Spratlys. So, why then does Beijing tolerate Vietnam's expansion while punishing the Philippines? 3 factors could explain the disparity. First, geopolitical bandwidth. China is fixated on the Philippines, which, under President Marcos, has strengthened ties with the United States. In recent years, Manila signed new defense agreements with Washington, opened 4 additional military bases to American forces, and conducted joint exercises with the United States, Japan, Australia, India, and South Korea. Moreover, in August 2025, Marcos welcomed Taiwan's foreign minister for trade talks, which didn't sit well with Beijing. And so, from China's perspective, opening a second front against Vietnam risks unifying ASEAN against Beijing, something the Chinese would rather avoid. The second reason for China's muted response is historical precedent. Vietnam has been expanding in the Spratlys since the 1970s. It's not something new or sudden. Between 1975 and 1996, it seized control of 21 land formations, even a few from China itself. In fact, a skirmish erupted in 1988 at the Johnson South Reef, with Chinese naval forces destroying 3 Vietnamese transport ships and killing 64 sailors. So, Vietnam's current expansion, while larger in scale, is not fundamentally new behavior in Beijing's view. The Philippines, by contrast, has only recently begun to push back against Chinese pressure, making its defiance seem more pressing. The third factor behind China's restraint is Vietnam's strategic ambiguity. It holds partner status in BRICS, a bloc often characterized as anti-Western, and President Quang underscored this alignment by attending Beijing's Victory Day ceremony in September. In addition, a New York Times investigation published on October 27th revealed that Vietnam had finalized an $8 billion arms deal with Russia. The agreement reportedly includes up to 40 Su-35 fighter jets, with oil payments used to bypass Western sanctions. Meanwhile, when the Trump administration imposed reciprocal tariffs on Vietnam earlier this year, Chinese President Xi visited Hanoi and signed dozens of economic agreements. For these reasons and others, Beijing believes that Hanoi can be managed through diplomacy and economic incentives. And frankly, that may prove to be the more practical approach. China is already Vietnam's largest trading partner, with bilateral trade reaching $205 billion in 2024. Chinese investment has also expanded sharply, with cumulative foreign direct investment surpassing $31 billion by early 2025, including $4.7 billion in new projects in 2024 alone. Taken together, these factors explain Beijing's restraint. A forceful confrontation with Vietnam could backfire, driving Hanoi closer to Washington and turning a manageable problem into a strategic disaster. For that reason, Beijing stays quiet. It's betting that Vietnamese expansionism, however extensive, will not challenge Chinese dominance so long as Hanoi keeps one foot in Beijing's orbit. Vietnam's island building is only one part of a broader military transformation. In April 2025, Hanoi finalized a $700 million deal with India to acquire BrahMos supersonic cruise missiles, including both ground-based launchers and air-launched versions for its Su-30 fighter jets. The BrahMos flies at Mach 2.8 and can strike targets up to 290 kilometers away, marking a major boost to Vietnam's strike capabilities. With this deal, Vietnam will become the second Asian country to acquire the weapon, following the Philippines' $375 million purchase in 2022. Moreover, in addition to the earlier arms agreement with Russia, Vietnam's package for the Su-35 fighter jets reportedly includes advanced electronic warfare systems and mobile ground-based jammers. The Su-35, a 4.5 generation multi-role aircraft, offers superior maneuverability and long-range engagement capabilities. So, when integrated with Vietnam's existing Su-30 fleet, these aircraft would significantly boost Hanoi's air defense network and expand its reach across the South China Sea. These military acquisitions reflect Vietnam's strategic reasoning. By combining fortified islands with advanced weapons, it can block enemy access across a wide area. Should China attempt to coerce Vietnam, as it has the Philippines, Hanoi's fortified islands could function as unsinkable aircraft carriers and extend the range of its anti-ship missiles and fighter patrols deep into contested waters. The strategy mirrors what China has built, but on a smaller, more affordable scale. Yet interestingly, Vietnam's military buildup had elicited little response from the other nations bordering the South China Sea. The Philippines, Malaysia, and Indonesia have refrained from strong protests, likely because no one expects Vietnam to restrict freedom of navigation or challenge fishing activity the way China does. What's more, Vietnam's reclamation efforts complicate legal proceedings. The Philippines is considering filing a second international arbitration case against China, this time over the environmental damage caused by Beijing's dredging. However, Vietnam's own reef destruction, 9.5 square kilometers compared to China's 19, undermines Manila's legal case. It's difficult to argue that China's island building violates environmental norms when Vietnam does the same, and so Manila prefers to look the other way. But in the long term, the strategic implications may be harder to ignore. If both Chinese and Vietnamese ships begin operating from the Spratlys, the Philippines may eventually decide that it too needs additional infrastructure to support a more consistent presence. Malaysia and Indonesia might then reluctantly follow suit. So, once the precedent is set, the behavior could become contagious. All in all, the South China Sea has become a laboratory for power projection through cement and dredging. Vietnam is racing to build faster than China can react, hoping to shape a reality too costly to reverse. For today's facts on the water are tomorrow's lines on the map. Remember to play Supremacy World War III for free on PC or mobile. Use the link in the description to claim the Elite Frigate bonus, available for the next 30 days. I've been your host Shirvan from Caspian Report. If you approve of what we do, please leave a comment, hit the like button, and mayhaps share the video. In any case, thank you for your time, and sawal.